We don't look to the Anne Voss camps and the Beth Moores of the world for what it means to be a Christian woman.
Adrienne Dorheinz talking about her presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
We look first to Jesus, and his word tells us that a godly woman is marked by things like repentance and piety, humility and grace. And ultimately, this kind of woman lives a really full life in faith. She has Christ's name on her, she receives all the blessings he has to give, and she rejoices in those. That's what the life of a baptized woman looks like, and that's who the Lord has created us as his daughters to be.
You can meet and hear Adrienne Dorheinz, Making the Case for Biblical Womanhood, Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 10th and 11th in Collinsville, Illinois.
We had a little thing yesterday. The Pope was great. He made a beautiful statement this morning. They had him convinced that illegal immigration is like a wonderful thing.
It's gotten harder than ever to instill the values they teach in our church. Instead of the values they always try to ram down our throat in popular culture.
We are gathered here because of one man. A man loved by many, scorned by others. That man, of course, is Jesus of Nazareth.
The solution that our salvation requires God to become a man and die on our place on the cross. And brokenness just does not cut it for the picture of the depth of our own sin.
Moms in Ohio love Issues, etc.
Well, I think it's very, very good news. The question is, why is it happening? No, it's not unusual for small businesses to fail. They have a pretty high failure rate. And a lot of abortion clinics are essentially small businesses. Some of them are big business, like Planned Parenthood. So why is it that everyone, both pro-lifers and those who support abortion on demand, why is it that everybody recognizes that the number of abortion clinics in the United States is dropping? Not necessarily along at the same rate as the number of abortions. That's dragging behind. But the number of abortion clinics are dropping. They're closing their doors. And we should say, we really should emphasize, they're going out of business. And their business is, without a doubt, abortion. We're going to be talking about the closing of abortion clinics nationwide. Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in on this Friday afternoon, February the 26th. A little bit later, we're going to be thinking and remembering Sir Patrick Hamilton. You don't know the name, and I don't expect you to. He's a 16th century Lutheran martyr. He was actually burned at the stake in 1528 on Leap Day, February 29th. And we'll be remembering him along with the rest of the church. Pastor Jerry Gernander will be our guest for that. Shane Rosenthal of the White Horse Inn joins us a little bit later. We'll be answering some objections to the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then Robert Spencer will be our guest. We're going to talk about the Islamic State's abduction of Christians for ransom money. It's a big moneymaker for the Islamic State and ISIS. That'll be our subject there. Since it's Friday, we're going to end today's program as we usually do, playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play four soundbites for you. You will listen, and then you will call, email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and you will vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us that email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page. You can vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about the closing of abortion clinics nationwide, Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. Carol, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. My pleasure.
Are these closings due, at least in part, to the pro-life movement?
Absolutely. The pro-life movement has done a lot of things that contribute to this. One, of course, is passing laws requiring the abortion facilities to meet specific standards. Another is helping the pregnant women through pregnancy resource centers so that the demand for abortion is down. just the educational efforts to make sure that people understand that the unborn child is a human being that deserves protection. There's a lot going into it, and I think the pro-life movement can take a lot of the credit for these abortion facilities closing.
How important in your mind is it that we emphasize that these clinics are, they're going out of business, and by that I mean they are either unable or refusing to meet the standards that other that medical facilities meet, and a lot of them are just feeling the pressure that way.
They are feeling the pressure. I mean, it's kind of funny because for years, when we would get state legislatures to pass laws, requiring certain things to be met, whether it's parents be notified or before a minor daughter gets an abortion, or women have to be given certain information before they get the abortion, we found that the abortion facilities would, start screaming that you're picking on us, you're treating us differently than any other medical or surgical facility. So then the pro-life movement also comes back and they start passing laws that say, okay, if you want to be treated like other medical facilities, then you have to meet the same standards as those facilities. And again, then they start crying, you're picking on us. Why are you making us meet these standards when we shouldn't have to? So they were trying to have they had a double standard, trying to have it both ways. And it's just not working, and many of them are finding out that there just isn't enough of a demand, or they can't meet the codes that are being required of them, that it's too expensive, and they're just closing their doors.
So what kind of numbers are we talking about? How does the picture actually look for abortion clinics nationwide?
Well, in the last 5 years, there have been more than 160 abortion providers that have closed their doors or stopped offering abortions, with only 21 new ones opening, which is a drop of 140 places just in the last 5 years, which is amazing. But I will offer one caveat. Some of those places that have closed were closed because a new facility was opening. Planned Parenthood has been very good at that. They will have a smaller facility that is maybe old, rundown, whatever, and they might close two or three or four of them in an area, but then they will build a brand new mega center, which really is a nice, clean, sterile, clinic atmosphere. So this is very good news that we are seeing so many abortion facilities close, but I will say some of them are because Planned Parenthood has come back and decided to meet those standards, and now they have this nice new clean place to kill unborn children.
So whether it's a big, whether it's fancy, whether it has a nicer parking lot or cleaner facilities, they're still in the business of killing the unborn.
Absolutely.
Now, I do want to talk about these mega centers. There was one that was opened, I think, about 2 years ago in Chicago. I think it was a consolidation of other ones. It seems to me that Planned Parenthood is trying to, even though they're still targeting people who are undereducated, low income, things like that, there's no doubt about that. This is their target customer, so to speak. They're trying to change their reputation and get the abortion clinics into nicer neighborhoods, aren't they?
They are for many years, and they still do. Planned Parenthood has targeted poor minority communities, placing their abortion facilities in those neighborhoods, so it's more convenient for women to go to them to get the abortion. But we are seeing them do some nice upscale facilities in the nice, neighborhoods. They want to be known as a professional medical service. So we are seeing, in some places they'll have this nice place that looks, they try to make it either nice like a therapist's office, or there's one place in Maryland, it's not connected to Planned Parenthood, but they were setting up their center to make it, they were advertising that this would give abortion, you'd be in the atmosphere of having a spa-like surroundings. You walk in and they'll have this nice comfy robe and they'll give you a cup of hot tea, and they're just going to make the experience as nice as they can, as pleasant as possible for the woman. But the end result is that the woman is still walking out the mother of a dead baby.
The reasons that are often cited by the abortion industry for the closing of these all try to lay this at the foot, and you readily accepted responsibility of the pro-life movement for many of these closings. It's a move forward. and I agree with you heartily, that they're saying, look, we have to add all security because the pro-lifers cause so much trouble and threaten so much violence. We have to protect the women in this way, too. We have to take measures that other people don't have to do. What's your response to that?
They should get out of the business. They are in the business of killing unborn children. So they have to hire security. I think much of that is perception on their part. They want people to think pro-lifers are dangerous. They want people to feel sorry for them. They want to play the victim, that they are, you know, on the losing end of a PR battle because, you know, they're just trying to help women. But they do also, in many states now, have to meet certain standards. They have to have halls wide enough to get a gurney through in case an ambulance has to be called. They have to have, you know, the oxygen machines and the fire extinguishers, and a lot of them just don't want to put up with that because they just want the, you know, waiting room for the woman to come in, sit down, wait till her abortion is done in the next room, and then send her out the door. So there are a lot of expenses involved in putting together a facility that can do the job that would, you know, try to make the place safe, clean, but it's certainly not safe for the unborn child, and I would say it's not safe for the woman because even if she is physically fine, she is going to have mental, emotional, psychological problems for many years to come.
In that vein, the Supreme Court is hearing a case that has to do with the health of a mother when it comes to abortion. And the abortion providers that are arguing their side of the case is some pretty bad examples of kind of, I guess we just call them health violations in these things. And they're in there arguing that they should not be have these things further imposed upon them. What are your thoughts on that Supreme Court case?
Well, they are arguing that they're being treated differently because the legislation specifically targets abortion facilities. They want to argue that they shouldn't be treated, and yet they want to turn around and say that they are a medical facility and should be treated just like any other. So I don't think their arguments should have that much or carry that much weight because they're just asking for a double standard and they shouldn't get it.
This story also raises something that we don't discuss that often. Because Planned Parenthood is kind of the giant in the industry, because they perform the majority of abortions and their business is so lucrative, we often don't think about the independent abortion providers. What are your thoughts on that?
Planned Parenthood is taking up more and more of the abortion services in the country. They were, you know, getting about a quarter of all abortions, and then it was a third of all abortions. In the videos that came out last summer that were done as an undercover effort, one of the Planned Parenthood executives said they were closing in on 40% of all the abortions being performed. So as the number of abortions are decreasing and the independent abortion facilities are declining, closing their doors, Planned Parenthood is eating up a bigger share of the whole process. So I would not be surprised if in a few years Planned Parenthood is maybe, you know, not the only place, but will be the largest and there will be fewer and fewer offices that will actually perform the abortions. Planned Parenthood is going to take over the market.
So in essence, if someone wants to complain about the closing of abortion clinics, the pro-life movement will certainly accept its share of the responsibility, but they might also need to be informed that Planned Parenthood is putting a lot of these ones out of business. Or taking their business, I should say.
Sure. No, I think pro-lifers are very happy to take credit for the fact that abortion facilities are closing. And part of it, you know, some of them are just because there is no demand. The women are choosing life. Younger women are choosing life. We find that in the numbers, you know, the abortion rate, which is how many women per 1,000 women of reproductive age are getting pregnant and getting an abortion or having the baby. And we find that more and more of them are choosing life. So part of it is just the demand isn't there and the abortionists can't make enough money to keep the place open. But there is a problem that Planned Parenthood is eating up more and more of the market and putting some of these out of business as well.
Then are there states where we're actually looking at one or two abortion clinics or perhaps in the near future, none?
I think there are at least five states now, doing this off the top of my head. I think it's North Dakota, South Dakota, Missouri, Mississippi. I'm not sure which the other one would be, that only have one facility in the state that does abortions. But there are a lot of states that are really working to claim the mantle of being the first abortion-free state. So I think in the next couple of years, we're going to start seeing more and more states where abortion is just not being performed in that state for a variety of reasons. Either the legislation has gotten too tough and the abortion industry doesn't want to meet it, or the women are just choosing life and aren't seeking that abortion.
And, I mean, that is going to be hailed, as you well know, as a great setback for women's health. A whole state in the United States, or states, without abortion clinics. We already know what's going to be said. Women have to drive prohibitively long distances, cross state lines. There's questions of, again, those minor children having abortions without their parents' permission, crossing state lines. All of those issues come into play. What are your thoughts on that future?
I'm looking forward to the time when abortions are not being performed in most states. There are community health centers where a woman can get a lot of the services. She can get all of the services and more that Planned Parenthood and other places are currently offering. There are a lot of places where a woman can get help. She can get medical care. She just can't kill her unborn baby. And I don't see that as being detrimental at all to this country. Certainly the women need access to health care. They're going to need a lot of support. Pregnancy resource centers are helping women who are pregnant. But for other medical services, there are places that she can get that help. It's just that they don't do abortions. And that's what Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry is screaming about, that they want the women to have abortion as one of the services. And, you know, we're just going to keep working to make sure that that isn't happening.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to National Right to Life right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Carol, keep up the good work, and thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you so much, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Jerry Gernander, a little-known name and a little-known story of a 16th century Lutheran martyr. He was actually burned at the stake in Scotland on February 29th, 1528. Lutherans remember him not too well. We'll find out why so few of us know the story of Sir Patrick Hamilton right after this. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Joining us each week through the November elections, journalist Molly Hemingway of The Federalist and Mark Hemingway of The Weekly Standard.
I don't think anybody who's thinking rationally actually thinks that Donald Trump would be good on issues of marriage, abortion, religious freedom.
It's been reported that, you know, one of the few soft spots in Trump's support among Republicans is that of weekly churchgoers.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth, Issues, Etc.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.